Welcome back to Instant Mom, navigating solo foster and adoptive motherhood while attempting a go at sanity. Well, today we have the story of Olivia part two, which is not at all how I would have expected the second part of her story to go from the last episode. Full disclosure, I am recording this in my car because I don't have a lot of free time these days, and that is where I am at in life right now. So again, this is why I don't even like referring to this as a podcast, because it is not at all a professional or polished podcast, but it is a way to communicate a story of foster care and adoption to everyone. So anyway, excuse the car noises. But let's just get right to it. Olivia is going back to her birth mom, and we will not be moving forward with the adoption as much as we would love to. We were just weeks away from finalizing the adoption. We have our adoption date coming up in less than 2 weeks. And I was talking with Olivia's mom, and she just kind of blurted out, "Can I parent?" And I was like, oh. And she went on to explain that she had been thinking a lot about it and regretted her decision and just really wanted to parent and wanted to change her mind before it was too late. And to sort of give everybody a legal overview of how this works, both Olivia's mom and dad signed adoption consents. And those adoption consents are binding. And so, legally speaking, I had every right, and not even just every right, but this is sort of what they agreed to when they signed those consents, is that they were not the legal parents. And I was going to be adopting Olivia. And it even says on the consent form that they sign, which is, you know, witnessed by the attorneys, that they can't change their mind. Like, this is it, right? This is final. And they have to sign these statements saying that they're not under duress and they are of sound mind and they understand that this is final and they understand that there's, you know, no turning back, and they understand the consequences of this and what this means, that they are not a parent. They've terminated their relationship with this child, et cetera, et cetera. So legally speaking, I was completely within the bounds of the contract that both parents signed to say, you know, wow, I'm really sorry. That's really tough. Like, let's find you a good therapist. Let's work through that, help you work through that. But, you know, you agreed to what you agreed to and yada, yada, yada. And even if she decided to challenge it in court, which she could have done, the reality is that birth parents very rarely win contested adoptions because, again, when they sign their consents, that is final. It is legally binding, and they are made very aware of that as they are signing. You know, again, it's in the document itself. And so unless a biological parent can prove that they were somehow forced to sign this against their will, or they were lied to about what they were signing, or they were under duress or under the influence of something, whatever, not of sound mind, unless they can prove that that happened, the court would say, you know, would rule with the adoptive parents. Like, you signed this contract and you knew that it was final. So, you know, there are no takesy-backsies, right? For lack of a better term. And which I think for the most part is fair, right? Because you don't want kids just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth when parents change their mind. But I also know that this was a really unique circumstance, and our adoption had not yet been finalized. So even though I had the legal ground to stand on with, look, you signed consents, you know, sorry, you've had months to think about this before you signed it, and you signed it, so it's too late. I don't think I could sleep at night knowing that I said sorry about ya, you know. And it isn't even so much about her birth mom. Obviously, I care about her birth mom and I love her birth mom, and and that was part of the decision. But in the end, it was really about Olivia. And sorry, this is going to be an emotional episode, I think. You know, she is my daughter, right? And we were just a couple weeks away from making that legally official to where she would have my last name, and it was done, and there was nothing anyone could do to undo it. And in my mind, of course, she was my daughter. We'd had our family pictures taken, and I'd thought about, you know, what our life as a family would be like together. And Jack has been such a good big brother, and, you know, and as her mother, I want to do what's best for my daughter. And when I played this future out, I did not imagine that it would do Olivia any good at all. And in fact, I think it would be incredibly traumatic and potentially set her up for a lifetime of struggles. If when she was older, I either told her or she found out that, hey, just before the adoption was finalized, your mom was fighting and begging to keep you, and I blocked her efforts. I mean, to me, that feels like kidnapping, basically. Obviously, I know it's not, because her mother signed the consents and her mom was informed of what those consents mean and that they are legally binding, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not trying to call adoptive parents kidnappers. Obviously, I adopt Jack and was going to adopt Olivia. But to know that her mother, who is a good person, you know, had this heart-to-heart with me and said, I want a parent and I really regret my decision, and can I please change my mind before it's too late? And for me to just say, nope, she's mine, ha ha ha. Like, that would be unconscionable of me to do that. And I think Olivia would grow up and hate me if I did that. And I wouldn't blame her. I would hate me too if I was in her shoes. And I think adoption is so traumatic anyway. She would have all of this trauma to deal with, even in the best of circumstances. And then to know, oh my God, my birth mom was fighting for me and she could have done this. And my adoptive mom just didn't care. Like, who knows what that could have caused her? I mean, she might, not only would she probably have anger issues and rejection issues, but that could have turned into substance abuse issues or abusing herself or letting other people abuse her, you know? And she's my daughter, regardless of the fact that she'll be going back with her birth mom. And I love her. And I was not going to do that to her. Like, again, that would just be completely unconscionable. And so even though it means that this vision of the family that I had in my mind and the family that we have been living as for, you know, 4 months now, would be broken up, it means that she is going back to the family that she should always be with, should have always been with. I've been really lucky that people have supported that decision. I was kind of afraid because I thought there would be a lot of people who would say, like, what are you doing? Like, no, her mom knew what she was doing. She understood the finality of it. She's had months to change her mind. Like, no, she can't do this 2 weeks before the adoption and just take her back. Like, and I thought a lot of people would push back and be like, you know, oh my God, she's not in a position to parent. Like, you've got the money and the resources and blah, 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 blah. And it's still hard. Like, what is she thinking? You know, I really thought there would be more of that. And there really hasn't been. Maybe people are thinking that privately and just not saying that to me, but I haven't heard any of that at all. And I'm really grateful for that. And that was something else I was reflecting upon, is I think it's so easy to say, well, I have the money, I have the stability, I have the health insurance, I've got the support, I've got the resources, I've got the experience and the education. So therefore, I am the better parent. But that's actually not how parenting works. There are a lot of wealthy parents who are shit parents. And there are a lot of poor parents who are fantastic parents. Like, yes, having those resources makes things a lot easier. And I am not naive to that. Like, I absolutely understand that having those resources not only makes parenting easier for the parent and for the child, but can open a lot of doors for the child that can guarantee that they will break the cycle of poverty and struggles when they become adults. Like, I very much get that. Not discounting that or naive to that at all. But that is not a reason to keep a child from her mother when her mother is really wanting her back. You know, she, and this is also, people have to remember, very different from foster care. This was a private adoption and it was her choice. You know, she was not abusing drugs or alcohol. She was not abusing or neglecting Olivia. She just didn't think she could do it and was overwhelmed. And, you know, honestly, I've had those days too. We all have. Every parent has had a day where they don't know if they can do it another hour and they're overwhelmed. And what we have to do for those parents is support them and not say, you know, well, yep, you're right, you can't do it. So, you know, even though it really hurts and I'm going to have to work through this grief and help Jack work through his grief, I know that this is the right thing to do. And it was the only thing to do. It was the right thing and it was the only thing. There was no other option. So anyway, so I called her mom back because that was just a lot to take in and I just needed a moment to like get my head around it. And I called her mom back and I said, you know, of course we will support this decision. And she just started crying. And, the relief that I could hear in her voice, it was just, you know, I knew I'd made the right decision because she just felt and sounded just so immensely relieved, like somebody had just taken two semi trucks off of her chest, you know? And so my job now is to support them however I can. And I'm really fortunate that her mother is just such an amazing woman. I've said that from the beginning, and we've had a really great relationship and connection since the beginning. And she, you know, she said, I want to keep you guys in Olivia's life and I want us to hang out together and visit like we have been doing. And, you know, she doesn't want to end that. And then she even later sent me a message and said, you know, I've been thinking about it and I really want to keep her name Olivia, because Olivia was not her birth name. Olivia is not the name her mom gave her. And I'd had a conversation with birth mom when we wanted to change Olivia's name. And she was very supportive and was like, yes, I really love that name. You totally have my blessing. And so the fact that her mom wants to keep that name, that meant something to us. She's like, I really love the name. It has a lot of meaning. And I want her to have some connection to you guys. It's just, it's so ironic how the tables have totally turned. The things that I was saying to her and promising her, we want you to be a part of Olivia's life. We want her to always have a piece of you. She's now saying those things to me. And in some ways, I feel like the placing mother right now of giving my daughter to someone else and hoping that they'll take good care of her, you know? And I think that's, well, there are two ways to look at that. You can look at it as, wow, that's really fucked up. But I'm choosing to look at it as, it's actually really beautiful that it's sort of just become this full circle for both of us. And we both know each other's pain of saying goodbye, but we also both know each other's joy in welcoming Olivia back. And so I think that's just a really unique and beautiful thing. And I know it's given me, you know, even more capacity for compassion. It's tough, but I don't have any doubt about this. This was the right choice. This was the only choice. This is going to be what's best for Olivia 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And now we have to kick into the gear of doing everything we can to support her mom. And this is what society needs to do. You know, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute. I'll probably lose some followers. I'm okay with that. I always love when people send me messages when I talk about my liberal politics and they're like, I hope you know I lost a follower. It's like, you realize that social media isn't my living, right? I literally don't care if my followers go down to zero because of something I believe in. Anyway. Not that I don't appreciate the people who are listening. I do, but, you know, I'm not a professional influencer, so it's okay. If you don't like my politics, you can leave. But, you know, what's happening in Texas right now with essentially outlawing abortion is infuriating. I think a lot of people assume because I am pro-adoption. I'm not even pro-adoption because that sounds like adoption is always the best solution, and it's not. But because I am an adoptive mother and a foster mother, and because I am a Jesus follower, people often assume that I am anti-choice. I don't say pro-life because I do not think it is pro-life to try to block a woman from having an abortion, because there's a chance the mother is going to die. So you're not pro the mother's life, but also because being pro-life means that you are for supporting a mother and a child and a family unit throughout their entire lifespan and not just a fetus in the womb. And so what I am going to try to do with Olivia's mom, support her with the resources she needs and just the support of having somebody there who cares that she needs, is what every mother and baby need. And that's how we get to a place where we don't have to have abortions or adoptions, because adoption is also not the best solution, right? The best solution is that every pregnancy is a planned and wanted pregnancy, and every child is a planned and wanted child, and every biological family can stay together. That's the ideal. And to do that, to be truly pro-life, you have to support that child after they're born. And that means universal health care. And that means universal child care. And that means welfare and food stamp programs and social support nets that give mothers and children the resources they need so that they can parent. And it means a slew of other things that I won't get into because it's not related to this, like maybe not incarcerating people at the rate that we do and things like that. But anyway, we'll save that for another podcast altogether. My point being is that I wish we as a society would do what I'm going to try to do on a very small scale with Olivia's mother and say, yeah, you can do this and it's going to be tough, but we are going to be behind you and you are not alone, and we are going to make sure you can get through it. Instead of romanticizing adoption as this hero, oftentimes a white hero, a well-off white hero, sweeping in and fixing the problem. That is not the solution. And so I hope that there are other prospective adoptive parents out there who can see what's happening here and realize that if a mother changes her mind to parent, it's not a failed adoption, and that it's actually a celebration, and it is a celebration that you can still actively be part of. So you went to Target today and got a bunch of extra formula and diapers and baby food, and of course we're giving Olivia's mom the crib and all of the baby gear and the stroller and the car seat and the changing pad and all the clothes and the toys, like all the every baby thing will go to Olivia's mom, and we want to support her. Like it is going to be really hard, and so I'm hoping that this little bit of a cushion will give her a couple of months where she doesn't have to worry about spending money on baby needs, and she can focus on creating a little nest egg for herself and for Olivia. And that is helping me get through this too. Like this can be unhealthy, but I tend to like completely push down negative feelings and just go into this like happy little denial place and then move on. And the way that I'm doing that in this case is pushing down these feelings of grief and loss and moving on to helping mode. Okay, great. So you are going to be reunited and I'm going to help you. and just putting together this like little mini baby shower care package of things that she'll need for the coming months. So that's like, it's one less stress she has to worry about. But anyway, I'm a member of so many like adoption groups on Facebook, and people that I follow and follow me on Instagram that are going through adoptions. And I hate the term failed adoption. And I obviously understand the grief associated with having a plan for your family and having the child in your home and thinking that you are going to be a family forever and that being disrupted. I get that grief. I am not saying shut up, you shouldn't be sad about that, right? Clearly. But it's not a failed adoption. It is a successful reunification, and it is a wonderful celebration that we can be part of, and that can be so incredible. And so I really hope that for anyone out there who's thinking of adopting, maybe you've gone through a failed adoption, like, you don't have to be scared about it. Yeah, I mean, it is, I guess it can be a little scary thinking that until that judge slams the gavel down and you have your finalization date, that mom could challenge it, or that she could just ask you to let you have her child back, and you have to think about that. I understand that, how that makes people nervous. And I understand that that's not necessarily what you're hoping for when you go into an adoption. It wasn't what we had envisioned. But I am really surprised and also proud of myself at how quickly I've been able to say, yeah, this stinks for me selfishly and personally, but this is so much more wonderful in the greater picture. Like, me being able to adopt Olivia would have been a win, but it would have been a small win. And it would have meant a lot of trauma for her and her mom. And this is a much bigger win, that now they are going to be reunited and they can avoid that trauma. And it's okay if it hurts me a little bit, because in the grand scheme of things, like, this is so much better. And this was the plan all along, and I just didn't know it. You know, I believe that the universe or God or whatever you want to call it knows the plans. Our plans are mostly written. I mean, I obviously believe in free will too, but I do believe that things happen for a reason. And I am so happy that we could be a support for Olivia's mom for these past 4 or 5 months. I am so happy that we could give Olivia a really great solid start in a loving and supportive and healthy family, and that we got to enjoy her all of these months. And I'm so happy we can continue to be a part of her life and watch her grow up. And I'm so happy that mom is letting us stick around so we can support them. And it's a celebration. It really is. And that's how I'm looking at this now. It is a celebration. So anyway, so she'll be reuniting on Sunday. I'm recording this on a Friday, so we've just got a couple days left with her. And I know that day is going to be tough. I know, you know, pulling away from her mom's house and saying goodbye will be really hard. But I know it's not a goodbye forever. And I know it's for the best for everyone. It really, truly is. This isn't some like glib talking point lip service that I don't believe in. I totally believe in this. So I am just really grateful that we got to be the family that helped them through this and that allowed mom to make the choice to parent. One other thing before I go. Someone sent me a message on Instagram, and I think it was a very well-meaning question, but they said, do you regret being so open with Olivia's mom and having an open adoption? And do you think that is what led to her decide to parent? And that is a really easy question to answer. I do not regret the openness at all. Not at all. That was such a good decision for me, for Jack, for Olivia, for her mom. Like, everyone benefited from that openness. And I don't know if it led or contributed to her decision to decide to parent or not. I mean, maybe if we were like absolute dick adoptive parents and said like, thanks for signing these papers, we never want to hear from you again. Like, yeah, maybe she would have buried this grief and loss deep down inside of her, or been too afraid to reach out and tell us that she changed her mind. But I'm okay with that too. Like, this is not something that I would have wanted to prevent. Because again, this is the best thing for Olivia. And I truly love Olivia, so I want what's best for her, even if it kind of stinks for me in the interim. So yeah, like, I don't have any regrets at all. If we did anything, either consciously or subconsciously, that made mom change her mind and decide to parent, I'm glad that we did that, because it's a happy ending. So I'm glad that we got to this happy ending. I'd say this sounds like such a minor thing, but the only thing that really stinks out of all of this, is the financial side of it. I think that's the biggest and scariest part of adoption in terms of risk, is I don't get any of those attorney's fees back. There's not a refund policy if the birth mom changes her mind and you decide to go along with it. So that kind of stinks. It's like, oh my God, I literally just lit thousands of dollars on fire. And I hate to say for nothing, because it wasn't for nothing. Like, I guess it was toward the privilege of being able to have Olivia for these months and support this family and get them back to reunification. It was like reverse foster care. I paid for the opportunity. So there, I do have sympathy for adoptive parents who have a quote unquote failed adoption. And part of that loss is just the financial hit that you take, because, you know, there are some people, I suppose, who can lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and not feel the impact. But there are lots of us who can't. So that kind of does hurt. You're just like, oh geez, I just literally took all that money and lit it on fire. I mean, not literally, but it might as well have been literally. But like, I don't even necessarily look at my grief as a downside to this, because like, yes, it hurts, but that is going to be a temporary hurt for a greater good. So anyway, I think I'm in a good place with it. I think Sunday is going to be really hard, but I'm still feeling so good about it. And I am so glad that this is how it's ending, because I think Olivia, when she grows up, is going to look back, and I think she's going to be really grateful to me for not being selfish and for saying, yes, of course you should be back with your birth mother. And I think she's going to be so fucking proud of her mom, of like, wow, you did something so scary twice. You took the scary step of saying, I can't do this. I am overwhelmed. I want the very best for my daughter. And then you took the scary step to say, you know what? I'm best for my daughter. So her mom was a badass twice. And I think she's just going to be so proud of her mom. And I'm just excited to see what Olivia is going to do in the future, because she is just so smart already. And she's such a spitfire, and she is so spunky and has such personality, and she is going to like, and she's gorgeous. And she is just going to take this world by storm. I am just really excited to see how she's going to turn out, because she's going to do amazing things. And I'm just happy we get to still witness it. I don't know what's next for us in the future. I don't think we're going to adopt in the future. I think Jack and I are going to be in a really good place together as our little team. And I think there are lots of ways that I can continue to advocate for families in all kinds of ways without sort of continuing to tap myself financially and physically and emotionally, because I also have realized that I do need to take some time to take care of myself. That's been the thing that I've let go in all of this. You know, when you're a single mom to two small kids and you have a demanding full-time plus some job, you put yourself last. And so I've let myself gain a bunch of weight. I've let myself have a really terrible diet. I've not exercised or moved my body at all. I am getting like 4 hours of sleep at night. I'm putting off some of my own health needs. So, and because of some health scares that I've had lately, and because of some health situations with both myself and my own mom, I see the ripple effects of that. And that was not going to be sustainable. So I think that the best way that I can advocate for other families in the long term is to make sure that I'm around for the long term. And that means doing what I need to do to take care of myself, so that I'm here for a really long time for Jack and for other families that need us in the future. So that's what I'll be doing for the foreseeable future, is getting myself back on track and healthy and strong. And then that's my priority. Yeah. So I think there'll be other ways that we'll continue doing the work that we like to do, which is advocating for change in foster care and adoption and supporting birth families, but doing it without, without necessarily having children in our home. But I don't know what that looks like yet. So more on that later. So as always, if you have any questions, comments, ideas for future podcasts, because I will keep doing this, please send them to me. You can find me on Instagram at efriedland. You can also email me elizabeth.friedland@gmail.com. And as always, thank you for listening.